Welcome to the School of the Word. This is Lesson 4 in our teaching on the Book of Romans titled, Godlessness Equals Wickedness. Our teacher today is Alan Smith.
And trying to capture and catch on to what God's trying to speak to us through the Apostle Paul and his writings. Now, the Book of Romans was first century. This was a good while ago, 2,000 years ago. And the Apostle Paul writes the book of Romans. I hope that you've read chapter 1 and chapter 2, perhaps. We've been going over chapter 1, and we'll finish up, hopefully, chapter 1 this morning. But it is so amazing to me how the Apostle Paul writes Romans, chapter 1, chapter 2. And it's like it's now. That was first century, 20th century plus. It's like 2,000 years ago Paul wrote this. But if you're reading the same thesis here that I am, it sounds like he's writing it about us today. And it is it is amazing to me right out of the chute how God's word was written 2,000 years ago, but yet it's talking about us right now. So we can't approach this book as though it was 2,000 years ago written, because it's a supernatural book, it's supernatural writings, and somehow another it cuts through the matrix of time and has been written and applied to us today. Amen? So let's keep it in mind that it is 2,000 years ago, but it's not an old book. It's an accurate book. It's an accurate letter. And when we can apply it to then and also know that we're to apply it to now, that it can make a difference. Now, lesson 4. Now, the first thing that we see in the first part of chapter 1, and we get over into past the halfway mark in chapter 1, we start seeing that a society starts turning godless. And when you start seeing in chapter 1, he starts going into people, and we covered it last week, start ignoring God. We take God out of our conscious mind. We also discussed last week how God puts into every human his restraint to do evil. I covered that last week, if you want to hear that teaching. God puts into every human a restraint in doing evil. In other words, without God doing that, you would be worse than you really are. Can you hear me? But it's in your birthright through God. He puts in every man that you can see into nature. You can see there's something in man put in by God. He's put in us a restraint. But here's what happens. We could see in chapter 1, when we continue ignoring God, God starts pulling his restraint. And when God starts pulling his restraint, man can do every evil deed. That is what we have learned up till now. And so, as the restraint, the wrath of God, Paul speaks about the wrath of God here. I want you to understand what the wrath of God is he's talking about. The wrath of God is when God starts pulling that restraint out of your life. In other words, you'll be doing things you could not conceive that you would have been doing 5 years ago. So what's happening to us as a nation? As we ignore God, God pulls his presence from your life. That is the context of the wrath of God. What's the context of hell? It means that you are there by yourself, less the presence of God. Can you have hell on earth? You can have a whole lot of it. Because it's excluding the presence of God. How we live our life, we'll see in the book of Romans, has everything to do with how much the presence of God we have in our life. And why does he want us to die to selfishness that Christ might live? It's because we're taking up good time discussing and arguing with God. I like a good argument with God than ignoring God. But we start into this disbelief system that God is real and that God can change any situation. We get into an unbelief or a disbelief of who God is. It's in that disbelief that we find God starts pulling his restraints out of us. That's the scary point. That's not my report. That's the Apostle Paul's report. So you can find yourself in the wrath of God, which means that God is pulling his restraints from you. So when this happens, you can look in our nation. We are ignoring God. You can't read your Bible. You can't do anything on a Christian holiday. Everybody's afraid to talk about God. That is what you call ignoring God. Paul says, when a society, remember, Paul's talking about Rome, have we improved since Paul wrote the book of Romans? Not one iota. If man thinks that we have improved since the book of Romans, just read Romans chapter 1 and chapter 2 and turn on your news. We have not improved in society at all. But what happens when we ignore God, which the United States is now doing? If the United States ignores God, it's what you call godlessness. And when we ignore God, it causes godlessness. Then something comes in. It's called wickedness. Now, it just so happens, and I'm going to get into this if I'll hush. It just so happens that homosexuality is one of the big triggers that shows us about godlessness. Now, is it any worse than anything else? I don't know how bad is. But we do know that this is one of the things that the Apostle Paul is using as a signal to us that godlessness is entering your society. Never before have we seen homosexuality so acceptable in society. Now, do I have any feelings against homosexuals? Any judgment? I have none. My sadness is that the Church of Jesus Christ that we sit in do not carry the power of God to set those captives free. Amen. Well, let me say me. I do not possess the power to set those captives free. I have prayed for less than a dozen, but I've seen some do better, but I've yet to see a homosexual set free. So Alan Smith, I'll use myself as an example. Perhaps I'm a good representative of this crowd. I have not carried that anointing to set the captive free. Do I believe that it can happen? Yes, I do. I feel worse towards myself than I do the homosexual. Because I've had him come to me. I had one guy came to me and he was holding my leg and said, Alan, please get this off of me. Do whatever you have to do. I prayed for him, did everything I knew. I casted and I blasted and I did it all. Only for him to get up and leave the same way as he came. So where's my great disappointment in the homosexual? No, where's my great disappointment? It's in Alan Smith. And I am still striving for that anointing to come a fall upon the Church of Jesus Christ. That so, because we are supposed to have the ability to go out into the highways and hedges and call everybody in, both good and bad. It's what my Bible says. We're not supposed to judge them at the door, if they're homosexual or not. It is to be that the power of God is such in this place that they can walk in the door, fall under conviction, be set free, end of story. Just dare come if you can, because you'll get set free if you go to that church down there called New Life. That is our cry. That's our hope. So if we have to censor who's here, shame on us. But we will strive, because I believe one day we'll see that anointing. One day we'll see that power. And I'm sure God's done more than I can see. I just like to see a little bit. And I need to hush. Excuse me, Lord. Now, godlessness equals wickedness. That's what Paul's saying here. In verses 24 through 32 of Romans chapter 1, we have what we call the results and dilemma of man's arrogance and pride. When man ignores God, we can see that that is called arrogance and pride in yourself. Now, Paul says there were two characteristics of his day. The first characteristic is godlessness, and the second one is what? Wickedness. There again, written 2,000 years ago, the Apostle Paul writes Romans. He is looking around at what's going on around him, and he writes it. And it happened here last night. San Francisco. Do we have to go that far away? Probably not. The fundamental meaning of the epistle to the Romans is that every generation there is godlessness, which results in wickedness. We just know as each generation goes right before the coming of the Lord, that each generation, if we ignore God, it gets worse and worse. Remember, God's wrath, the reason it's getting worse and worse is because God pulls out of mankind any restraints. You should say, well, Alan, that's kind of mean. Don't you think? Well, God, for some reason, His wrath and His judgment is like this. If you want some, go get you some. Get all you want till you throw it up. That's what He told Israel. Gave them quail. They complained. He said, well, go get you some and just eat it till you throw up. You got to understand, when you think you're getting by with something, the truth is God's just saying, well, go get you some, get all you can, all you want. You see, the darker you get, the brighter the light. God doesn't negotiate. If you want it, go get it. He'll let you have it. He'll say, he'll pull his restraint back and he'll say, go get all you want till you're sick of it. And we turn to him. Because the end of the story is, if you live through it, you will be sick of it. Godlessness and wickedness. Wherefore, God also gave them up to uncleanliness through the lust of their own hearts, to dishonor their own bodies between themselves. So here we see that this chapter 1 of Romans is progressive. Homosexuality is at the beginning. We oftentimes think that that's the worst case scenario. No, it gets worse. But it says God also gave them up too. That means He has pulled His restraints. It's not that God pushed them in. It's just that God gives up. Listen, when God gives up on... I've heard it said God never gives up. Yes, God does give up. Right there it says He did. But the reason God gives up, because He'll let you have your way till you're sick of it. He knows you're not going to listen to Him. So just go get you some. The reason God has restraints are for protection. He loves us. That's the reason the restraints are there. We keep saying no and just totally ignoring Him. He says, okay, I give up. Go after it. Go get all you want. So God gives them up through the lust of their own hearts, to dishonor their own bodies. Now, there's something huge here about dishonoring the body. The first mark of wickedness in a godless society is widespread sexual immorality. The degrading or the dishonoring of the body. I mentioned this a little bit last week. The first sign of wickedness in a civilization is that sexual immorality becomes widely accepted, even in the church. It's widely accepted. I saw in the news last night where there were people, ladies in New York City, Times Square, topless. They were going around. It was on the news, just like this a regular day in New York City as a form of art. And I was, of course, I'd been doing this study, and I'm like, it's just amazing how it. So what happens? We progress and accept that it's normal, that it's all right. And it's amazing how there can be a battle in your own soul, in your own spirit, to yield to, oh, yeah, so I'm, you know, we're just too religious, spirit of religion, we're going too far. Forget about religion. It's just going too far. Wherefore, God also gives them up. The second, sexual immorality is man's longing after worship. I touched this a little bit last week, that sexual immorality is a type of worship. This is what happens when our hearts are darkened with vain imagination. Men is worshiping a body. Women are worshiping a, it's a form of, immorality is a form of worship. It's just that simple. It's, and now let me throw another one in on you here. The scriptures tell us that only God can give that fulfillment. Only God can satisfy that deep sense of longing for complete unity with another. This is what the Bible calls worship. When men think they are going to find that fulfillment in sex, God in effect says it won't work. This is even true in marriage. Now, I've heard this said, anything in a marriage goes wrong. 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 You're to honor each other as Christ does His church. You're to honor each other. You're to honor. Man is to honor his wife's body. A woman is to honor the man. This, let me tell you a lie. This lie that anything goes is nothing but a lie out of hell. We are not to, you see, you got to understand, dishonoring the body, that's what abortion is. Same spirit. It dishonors the body. Can you see it? Same spirit, same lie. If you dishonor someone else's body, you are a dishonoring person. You are very, very selfish. Say, Alan, that's good preaching. Thank you very much. Men and women only find their fulfillment in a relationship to God. Homosexuality is the second mark of a godless and wicked society. In the first step of this process, bodies were dishonored. In the second step, you see, automatically the first step of dishonoring bodies, we call it homosexuality. No, that's the first step. Then that same concept is carried into male and man and woman, man and man. The second step, Paul speaks of shameful lust arising from inside, desires that are part of the soul of man. He goes on to say in verse 26, for this God, cause God, gave them up into vile affections. God did what? He gave up. That means God gave up. For even their women did change their natural use into that which is against nature. Now this is the second. The first is you entertain the idea of dishonoring bodies, which, as I've told you, is also, that's what abortion is. Then it progresses in male to male, female and female. And likewise also the men leaving the natural use of the woman, burning their lust one towards another. Men with men working that which is unseemly and receiving in themselves recompense of the error which was met. Now, we think automatically that this is the bad one. No, I've got a lot more to go. This is not the bad one yet. Paul says, because they have exchanged. Now, watch this one. Because they have exchanged truth for a lie and exchanged a creator for created things, God allows them to exchange natural functions for unnatural functions. I hope you can see that spiritual truth. When you exchange any truth, this is an example, but if you exchange any truth of God for a lie, you will be exchanging natural into an unnatural function. I'm going to get into that a little more here in just a moment. I want you to get it. Anytime you exchange the truth of God for a lie, what happens is you will exchange a naturalness for an unnaturalness. There's a penalty. It's not just being disobedient. It's that you pick up another set of what you think is true, but it's a lie. Let me explain it to you here. Oh, and then I put in there that that's what God's wrath is. You see, we think God's going to hit us with a stick. What God is saying, when you change His truth for a lie that you don't understand, He has pulled back His restraint now. So you can be your own God. You make your own decision, and you will take that is natural into unnatural. Now, the example here is homosexuality. It's a good example, that's natural to unnatural. But there's other things in our life that God says is true. We act as though it's a lie because we ignore Him, and now we're doing things unnaturally. Amen. Now, believing the lie, what does that mean? It'll use homosexuality. That's what we got in Romans here. The incredible thing today is that homosexuals are encouraged to believe the lie that this is a condition which they cannot help, but one in which they must adjust. And you say, well, Alan, woe is them homosexuals. We do the same thing. Now, I've just got homosexual, but the incredible thing today is that homosexuals are encouraged to believe lies. Take that now, but we are encouraged to believe the lie that this is a condition which I'm in, that I can't help. And I just need to adjust to it. Apply that one wisely. You've got to understand the concept in which Paul, because he's fixing to get into it. People go to this scripture about it's all about homosexuality. No, it's not. It's all about believing lies. It's all about ignoring God. That's what the context is about. Homosexuality is a sin, like other sins. It can be forgiven and a person can be delivered and freed from this sin by the power and grace of Jesus Christ, just like other sins. Glory, hallelujah. Aren't you glad? The restraints are removed, so homosexuality becomes widely accepted in society. When God removes His restraints, it is the beginning of the fall of a society. So when we see that homosexuality is amazing to me how this thing is. Does anybody remember, what was the two guys on TV? One of them played the guitar, and Smothers Brothers. Does anybody remember the Smothers Brothers show? One of the boys said something about some type of underwear or something, I forget, on TV. They took them off TV. Does anybody remember that? How many years ago has that been? 20, 25 years ago? 40 years ago? I got a good memory, hadn't I? Look how far TV has gone from then until now. The restraints of God is being removed off of America. That's our problem. That's where we are. The restraints of God were pulled. Rome, Paul knew that the restraints of God were being lifted. Listen, I think I maybe got it in my slide somewhere. Of the first 15 Caesars of Rome, 14 of them were homosexual. Of the first 15, 14 of them were homosexual. I don't know what happened to the other crazy guy. Now, with sexual confusion comes a loss of personal identity and a person's role and place in life. What happens with homosexuality or any immorality is you'll have sexual confusion. You'll start believing lies. It comes a loss of personal identity. People don't know who they are and a person's role and place in life. When a person comes to me and they're so confused about, I know what's going on. Why? Because of that verse. The third mark of a godless and wicked society, and I must move on. And even as they did not like to retain God in their knowledge, God gave them over to a reprobate mind to do those things which are not convenient or natural. Being filled with all unrighteousness, fornication, wickedness, covetousness, maliciousness, full of envy, murder, debate, deceit. Look at that. Malignity, whispers, backbiters, haters of God, despiteful, proud, boasters, inventors of evil things, disobedient to parents. Without understanding, covenant breakers, without natural affections, implacable and unmerciful, who knowing the judgment of God. Now, what's the judgment of God? He pulls his restraint and he gives up. In other words, he gives up. He gives you over to your own ways. Who knowing the judgment of God that they which commit such things are worthy of death, not only do the same, but have pleasure in them that do them. In other words, somebody does something, you say, well, bless God, I had never done that. But the truth is, you've enjoyed it. What happens when you hear somebody gossip about somebody? Well, you didn't gossip. No, but you enjoyed hearing it. You're welcome. The mark of a collapsing society. Now watch it. Godlessness brings a desire to exploit other people. We today have the greatest exploiting of other people than there's ever been. But it happens with godlessness. It's done with the idea of peace. Well, I'm okay, you're okay. A reprobate mind is a mind that will not fit into any culture or society, and it fragments everything it touches, brings total confusion. It wants to invade, now watch this, the field of education, the media, as well as legal status for its wickedness. It is the mind of the Antichrist. I showed you last week how the Antichrist will be a homosexual. If you pass that one, go back and look at what I taught last week. So, what happens with a... Why are we seeing godlessness? Because the spirit of the Antichrist is moving in. How do you accept the spirit of the Antichrist? Because you're godless. That's why God has to be removed, so the spirit of the Antichrist comes in. Its agenda is godlessness, which produces wickedness, and the wickedness is where its soldiers are birthed, bred, and taught to march for Him. Spirit of the Antichrist. That's what that is. Now, I want you to watch this one. The nature of man, it's your choice. Now we have, I want you to look right quickly, because I've just got a few moments here, but look here at this nature of man. It's your choice. We have a nature on one side, and I put kingdoms on the other side. That's in Romans, we just read it, verses 28 through 32. And that we have what's called there an unnatural nature. In other words, it's unnatural for a man to be with a man or a woman to be with a woman. That's his example. So that's in Romans. I've labeled that as subhuman. Unnatural is below human. You get more animal-like. It's not even a good human. It's subhuman. And that's the reason... Well, I'll not go there. All right. Let's look at the next thing here. Now, this is in Romans 1, 21, 23. We have unnatural, and here's what we call natural or human nature in Romans 1. 20. Now, we've got a nature here. It's called unnatural or subhuman. We've got a natural, which we call human. Then we've got the supernatural or the superhuman. Now, hopefully, we're wanting to move out of the... When you got born again, you moved out of the unnatural into the natural. Then your soul's being born again, and you're wanting to move it out of the natural into the supernatural. Does anybody see that one? This is our dilemma, or this is our challenge. To move out of the... Are all things about me in the supernatural? The answer is no, but it's so amazing how I judge you like I am. We can see the unnatural and the unhuman in others, but I, for some reason, can't see them myself. I know others can see it in me, but I also know this truth. I can't see it in me. The easy way is for the Holy Spirit to convict me of what I can't see, but sometimes I have to have you to tell me what I can't see. That's not telling me what to do. I don't take that one very well. But you can tell me when I'm being unnatural in my behavior and when I'm not being supernatural in my responses. The supernatural, superhuman, the divine nature is in 2 Peter You can read it there. You can write that down if you'd like. It's 2 Peter chapter 1, verses 4. Now let's look at the kingdoms. We have a kingdom here for an unnatural person. It's called the kingdom of Satan. That is a kingdom. It's a true kingdom. It's a real kingdom. The Apostle Paul has just written Romans chapter 1 about this kingdom. It's the kingdom of Satan. Why is a homosexual a homosexual? Because they're believing a lie. Why do you have pride? It's because you're believing a lie. Why are you selfish? It's because you're believing a lie that is in the unnatural world and realm. It's the kingdom of Satan. Where do you live? Next one. It's a natural world. The Bible calls it the kingdom of this world. And the kingdom of this world is a depressed place. It's a fallen place. And in the kingdom of this world, two other kingdoms can operate, the unnatural and the supernatural. People tell me, say, well, Alan, God's not doing supernatural things today. That's a lie. Because I know I'm living in the kingdom of this world, and in the kingdom of this world, Jesus has already done supernatural things. Listen, it seems pretty unbalanced to me if the kingdom of Satan can do supernatural things and God's kingdom can't. You know, if you're going to do away with God's supernaturals, let's do away with the devil's too. This is a fair fight, you know. But it's very important that God's people operate in the supernatural. Everything in your natural world is not going to be fixed. Good news. It doesn't have to be fixed before you can live in the supernatural kingdom. Quit calling on the supernatural kingdom to keep fixing your natural kingdom. Your natural kingdom's passing away, and you're going into a supernatural kingdom that never passes away. Are you going to build on things and waste a lot of anointing on the natural, or are you going to build up for what's in the supernatural? To Satan in the unnatural tries to get you to burn your anointing to fix the natural, which God can do, but it keeps you from spending that anointing in the supernatural, seeing people born again healed and broken hearts mended. What's the next kingdom? It's the supernatural kingdom of God. Those three kingdoms the Apostle Paul is talking about, when the restraints of God falls out of your life, you'll fall out of the supernatural into the natural, and you'll end up falling into the unnatural. Now, what has God done about these three kingdoms? Watch this one. Anybody remember the feast of the Passover? What happened at the Passover? The blood was applied. So God, out of His supernatural kingdom, has given provisions for the unnatural. It's called the blood of Christ. Do we have to stay in unhealthy thinking that are unnatural? The answer is no. Let me ask you this. Should you feed your natural mind, much less your supernatural mind, movies, TV, books, pictures of the unnatural world? Should you feed it? Do you have so much pride that you think you can feed yourself out of the unnatural world and be a supernatural person? You see, we have settled to be natural. We're supernatural beings, but we have settled to be natural. Can you do those things? The answer is yes, you can, but you'll have no supernatural power, anointing. What did He do about the natural world? Pentecost. Anybody remember that one? Pentecost. That's Pentecost. The power of the Spirit has been released upon this earth in God's believers, and God's believer can overcome the kingdom of this world. Because God gave us the day of Pentecost, His Holy Spirit came upon us. Jesus died on a cross. to save you from an unnatural world. Quit playing in it. He sent His Spirit. Because we're living in the kingdom of this world, and we can live in the kingdom of this world, but with His Spirit, which brings us into the supernaturalness, which is the Feast of Tabernacles. The Feast of Tabernacles is when God tabernacles with man. Just hallelujah right there. We've got three kingdoms, and God's given the provision for all three of them. So can it be achieved? Yes. The only way it will not be achieved is if we're like in Romans 1 and 2. We believe lies. Don't believe lies. That's what gets people confused. Then they lose their identity. They lose who they are. And then they're gone. Why does God give a civilization over to this kind of thing? It is only when man is at his darkest moments that he calls on the light of God's presence. Why do we have Romans chapter 1, homosexuality, all this stuff? We say it's terrible. God pulls this restraint. He lets us go because God knows the quicker we get there, the quicker we're going to look at His light. Now, to you that might sound bad, but God already knows you're not going to have it any other way. So He pulls His restraint that we can head there fast. Because, believe it or not, God's got your redemption in mind when He pulls His restraint. Gosh, come, Isaiah 9:2. The people that walked in darkness have seen a great light. They that dwell in the land of the shadow of death, upon them hath the light shined. That's what the verse means. God gives you over to the dark. He lets it go. Because He knows the truth. He's going to be at the end of your darkness with a light on. It's going to be better than what is it, hotel egg? We got the light on for you. God's got the light on for you at the end of your darkness. Somebody say glory. You see, you thought God was mad. God's not mad. God's pulling His restraint. He gives you over. He gives up. Because He knows the quicker you get there, the quicker you'll get back to Him. What's this one? God's plan is always for man's redemption. 2,000 years ago, remember, we're reading in Romans 2,000 years ago. It was pretty bad, wasn't it? 2,000 years ago, a great light was shining in Bethlehem. It was a time when man was without hope. Yeah, I did put it in there. 14 out of the first 15 Caesars of Rome were homosexual. They were without hope. 2,000 years ago, God shined a light at the end of the tunnel when it was that bad. Paul was writing Romans. He's saying, hey, y'all, God's pulling His restraints, but He's already sent the light 30-some years before He wrote it. God's turned the light on. I got a message for you. You've been given over to your own ways, but there's a light at the end of the tunnel. Luke 2, verse 10 and 11. And the angel said unto them, fear not, for behold, I bring you good tidings of great joy, which shall be to all people. For unto you is born this day in the city of David a Savior, which is Christ the Lord. Now, the reason I'm putting this in here is you've got to understand Romans chapter 1 and chapter 2. The reason God gives things over, do you see that? The reason God's pulling His restraint or His presence, the reason He pulls that in America is because we are ignoring God. God does it not because He's mad at us. He does it because He knows the quicker we get there, we'll vomit. And we will turn back to Him. Do you want to know the answer on America? Let me prophesy. We will return back to God. We're going to be so sorry on what it took. But we will, I prophesy, return back to God. Well, that's a happy place to stop, isn't it? I can tell y'all really love me. Well, it's my prayer that you understand Romans in the right light. that you understand the Apostle Paul was writing about his day, which is just like our day. It's no different. It tells us a lot of things. Mankind has not gotten smarter as we've been here longer. We have not. But let me give you the shortcut. The shortcut is in all things trust God. Believe God. Now listen to this. You don't have to understand all this stuff. Just trust God and believe it. That's all we got to do. And understand, to ignore God in your life is not a good idea. Embrace God. You say, well, Alan, I didn't know I was ignoring God. I understand that. But now you know. We don't ignore God. Have you learned anything this morning? Lord Jesus, we love you. We thank you for your word. Thank you for your way. And I pray, oh God, if there's anything that I've said is not of you, that it would fall to the ground. But Lord Jesus, anything that I've said of you, I pray that it'll stick into our hearts, give us direction, give us understanding. And Lord, I want to personally thank you for letting me get done with chapter 1 so I can get on into something else. And just thank you, Lord, and we love you. Be with us, Lord Jesus, in our worship as we go into this next worship hour. Dear God, let us, we pray, oh God, if right now, if there's been any, if you're pulling any restraints out of anybody's life, we repent of whatever we need to repent of. We pray, oh God, that you'll come back in the fullness of your presence and you'll double it. And you'll give us more of your presence. That there'll be no restraints of your presence with this group of people. Forgive us, oh God. Forgive me. I'm the worst of anybody in here, and I know that. But I stand up here with boldness to speak your word of truth. That Alan Smith, number one first, oh God, would be somebody that you don't have to restrain, but you can pour out. That you can pour out. Let this church be a church that you can pour out. Let this church be known in this community as you can go there and meet God, good and bad. We make a call, oh God, to the highways and to the hedges that everyone's invited here, both good and bad. Homosexual, straight, crooked, prostitute, drunk, drug addict are all invited. And dear God, our prayer is that our behavior and our preaching and our teaching and the people of our congregation can be filled so with your power and your presence that nobody could be here one service and not be set free. Because your Bible says it can do it, and we want to see it on this earth because we think we're really going to need it where we're headed. So, dear God, as the times get darker, let your light be brighter and shine stronger in all of our lives and in this church is our prayer. And all of them that felt something on that said amen. Amen, amen. You got about 12 minutes. Thank you.